to Joey, Chris, and Gabe, Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, which, by the way, rocks. My name is Suzanne Snyder, and you guys need to listen to this podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back, everyone, to Master of the Universe Podcast, or like some people like to say, welcome back to Master of the Universe Horror Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Cage, motherfucker, and Christopher J. and the Man Beast. We got episode 62, and we're talking about Lighthouse, man, and this is a Gabe pick. But before we get into the movie, I want to know what you guys are into right now. Of course, like my new favorite thing, you know, shoot the shit. You know, what are you watching? What are you drinking? You know, who's getting over on what? What are you jamming to? Any additions to the collections? All that shit. So, Chris, you want to get yourself over, son? Well, Joe?
Right now, I just had two shots of Captain Morgan, 100 proof. Watching-wise, I got started on season one of Ray Donovan. We're on episode 5, season 1 of Ozarks, trying to get into some new shows, new shit. We finished up Warrior, which is a badass series. I can't wait for season 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't wait for season 4 of Cobra Kai. So, and in the midst of all that, we're going through the hustle and bustle and nonstop. You need to do this, need to do that, of buying a house.
Complaining nonstop, right, Rose? Yep. I was like, you would think a motherfucker be more happy he's getting the house. Like, motherfucker, they trying to fuck me. I'm like, fuck, I just want to be left alone. So, Gabe, what are you into, man? What's been going on with you this week, and what's the news on everything here?
Ooh, well, to go real quickly through everything, as far as news goes, there is a movie coming out September 21st. It's an animated retelling of the classic Night of the Living Dead. Now, it's animated, and it's just like the original movie that we all know and love. But what's cool about it is the animation. This isn't like Toy Story or, you know, one of these Pixar type of animation type of movies. This is like the way this comes off across to me is like watching those old Spawn Showtime remember that old Spawn cartoon series, the way it was just, the way it was created, the way it designed, I don't know if y'all saw that, but yeah. That's the way this this movie comes across as. And it's it looks pretty neat. I thought it was, they have like a small trailer up, so I mean, you can scout around for that, put animated movie or cartoon movie of Night of Living Dead, so that's pretty neat. If you're into video games, Dead by Daylight, that popular game, well, they're always updating new skins, so you can. The idea is that you're like the killer and you're chasing after your friends. So they have a new skin coming out in September, which is the new skin for it will be Pinhead. Okay. So you can run around as Pinhead from Hellraiser and going around just, well, just like the damn game does, you know, just killing people.
I mean, I could go around just talking people to death in a real intellectual, serious, deep voice and tell people to purify themselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what you can do. I mean, pretty much, they'll just drop down dead from boredom, but yeah.
Well,
can do
hello, Dave Chappelle. I'm a huge fan of your comedies. why don't you and your brother assemble your crew and meet me outside?
That skit where they play basketball and shit.
And well, as far as that, the only other thing I have is that if you got Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime is hooking up with Blumhouse Productions. They've made quite a few horror movies, yep. And they're coming out with 4 new movies to go ahead and start off the whole season for October, which is pretty cool. The name of the 4 movies is Bingo Hell, Black as Night, Mandarus, and The Manor. So October 1st, both of those, and then they'll have two more movies coming out on October 8th. So it'll give you something to watch to start out the season. So if you want to see something new, something different, you like Blumhouse type of horror movies, I mean, there you go. Amazon Prime will have those for free. You don't have to pay for those if you already have Amazon. So I thought that was pretty neat.
They did Chris's favorite movie, that new Invisible Man. So he's like, he doesn't know it, but yeah, he's in a. And they did Happy Death Day, Get Out, Split, a lot of the newer cool horror movies. So yeah, definitely interested in that. Just so you know, Prime, you get like a free, you know, that's what's badass about the time we live in. You were talking about like how fucking shitty it was to live in the Dracula era and shit. It's like nowadays we just put on like, oh, you got this. They started streaming badass shit. So yeah, that sounds exciting actually. I'm really. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw those, so I'm definitely going to check those out. And as far as anything else, I had pretty much good fun with my buddy Johnny, or John E. Sachs. That's the name that he likes to go by. We had fun this last weekend, pretty comic book day. We were just kind of scouting around Austin, trying to get certain books and everything. Yeah, we dropped a pretty big bucks on certain comics and special editions. So met some comic artists, pretty awesome. And then this weekend is going to be fun. If you check out my Instagram, I'm going to have some video of me acting stupid, because I will be going to the Witty Museum. They have a thing called the Whiskey Business. It's pretty much like a Comic-Con, but for whiskeys, bourbons, and scotches.
Right up my alley.
Right
up my alley.
Exactly. It's a bunch of vendors. You're just sampling all this types of liquors, all types of mixed drinks and stuff like that. And
it's not craft beers of liquor.
I just call that a Thursday night. Dude. That's, you know.
That's a typical Thursday night. Well, it'll be nice for me, because it'll be good just to get out of the house, you know, do a little something. You know, me and the wife have been looking forward to this, you know. So they'll have some food vendors there. I kind of feel like this whole thing is just mostly geared towards people with businesses, like that run bars or other type of alcohol establishments and stuff like that. But either way, I mean, if you're just like a person just wanting to get out and stuff, I understand the whole COVID thing.
You just want to go and get out and get drunk and shit, you know. I hear you.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much what I told the wife what I'm going to plan on doing is say, hey, look, record me. Hey, guys, this is me, blah, blah, blah. This is drink number one. Before you know it, by the time I get to drink number,
you're
going to
be
15,
talking all different and shit.
Yeah, I'll be talking to myself. This is drink number 15.
And then the last video was just you sleeping and shit, passed the fuck out.
Thrown up all over myself. I went overboard. And, yeah.
She just recorded you in the bathroom.
Yeah, all butt naked for some damn reason. I thought we were at home.
Not here. Oh, yeah. Shit. That sounds like fun, dude. So.
Shit. So other than that, I mean, that's all I got for personally and just as far as the news. So that's all I got for right now.
what's your fascination with Whataburger, man? I mean, you eat that like every week almost damn near.
Oh, man. Well, it's quick. It's on the go. And damn shit tastes really good, man.
Yeah.
I kid you not. Like my main things is Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Whataburger,
yeah.
And then just overall, just Asian food, man. I just like the Asian food.
Hell yeah.
You know, chicken fried rice or something like that, some egg rolls, that shit's good. But, oh no, man, I love Whataburger. I'm even wearing a Whataburger t-shirt right now, man.
Dedication.
Dedication, man. I'm surprised I don't have the damn socks. You know, shit. I don't know, man. I love Dr. Pepper, love Whataburger. That shit's, if I don't have my lunch, or I'm just like, I don't feel like cooking for dinner or anything, I'm just like, hey, we're getting Whataburger today. You know, today's a good day. I'm going to get Whataburger. Why not? It's on the go. That shit's good. Why not? So, I mean.
There ain't nothing wrong with it. There ain't nothing wrong with it, son.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Whataburger, too. I just, I never go just because I hate waiting in line all the fucking time, you know. And then one time I was going to order it, like, delivery. It was, like, $10.99 for delivery. I'm like, are you fucking nuts? What are you fucking nuts, you know? But, yeah, big fan of that. I've been jamming the new Maiden songs that are coming out. I talked about it last time. They had one, Writing on the Wall. But it's more folky. At first, I didn't really, like, go too crazy for it. But after a few listens, I was like, okay, I get it now. And then this next one called Stratego is really good. You know, I like it's a real fast pace, more sounds more like Maiden than the other one. So I can't wait to hear the album. It's coming out September, I think, 3rd. So, man, it's always a big old exciting thing when a new Iron Maiden album comes out. And, you know, it kind of sucks. Before they would you know, have an album every year, and then every 2 years, every three, and now it's like every 5 or 6 years, so like big old gaps. So it's been a while, but jamming
September
that.
September 3rd's a Friday, so you wake up to the last day of the work week and a new Iron Maiden song.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be jamming. I'm gonna be all pissed off. Like, can't these people stop calling so I can jam the fuck out already? But I'm sure I'll be, you know, listening to it all hardcore, you know, at my brother's and having that full blast. Watching wise, yeah, a bunch of TV shows. Mark got me into the show Bosch on Prime, and then Ray Donovan. I fucking killed all 7 seasons in like less than 2 weeks, right, Chris? So, yeah, really good shows. Probably the best show I've seen, Ray Donovan. And I've watched a bunch of shows. You know, I watched Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. I haven't seen Sopranos. I know Chris is getting that one over. Might do that one eventually. And that's about it, yeah, as far for me. And then, you know, eating-wise, of course, Wingstop's going to make a comeback this week. I've been craving that shit. So, and then I'm right on there with Team Dr. Pepper with you, Gabe. I'm like, ooh, it's like my favorite drink, dude. But
oh, hey, for tomorrow night, I don't think I'm going to be going to Danny's. My dad's coming into town tomorrow night.
It's all good, dude. You don't got to announce it on the podcast, but yeah, it's fine, dude. I figured since you were moving, you know, you probably weren't, but, you know. Chris is moving, by the way, so getting a house. But anyway, dude, let's talk a little bit before we take our break here about Lighthouse. Now, you know, Gabe, you know, what made you want to do this review for Lighthouse?
Well, I mean, it's starring William Dafoe.
Yeah.
Green
Goblin. Like,
that's how I see him. That's all I can see him as. Like, he's just, like, he just has that face where he's just, like, he looks crazy looking. But, yeah, Green Goblin, that's how I know that guy. So, you know, I saw him that he was going to be in this, and I saw a trailer for it, A24 Films. I mean, yeah, I was like, sure, why not? You know, I'm all in. You know, a Dan Sailor movie, you don't see too many of that. And so,
yeah,
it's about a lighthouse. It's about two men. For the ladies, Robert Pattinson, he's like from the Twilight movie.
Rosie. Right away, Rosie pointed that out.
Yeah, that was the same thing with my wife too. She was just like, she was all in when she saw that guy. She's like, I've seen all the Twilight movies so many times. I read the books. I have to watch this movie now. He's in it. I'm like, oh my lord. I mean, there could be other reasons. The Green Goblin's in it.
Remind me, Willem Dafoe. That's the Scottish captain guy, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, do you know when after I had gotten about an hour into this movie, that's when I pulled up the Wikipedia. I was like, okay, I wanna read a little bit about this movie now that I'm deep into it. So I did, and that's when I saw that's the dude that played Jesus in Last Temptation of Christ.
I didn't see that one.
No. Before you laugh or mock it, do you know? And no, it's a movie about Jesus. No, do you know what Last Temptation of Christ is?
I do not. No.
It is a movie written by a Greek Orthodox priest and produced by Martin Scorsese. It is a movie that suggests posits a theory, a possibility of what if Jesus had a sexual desire for Mary Magdalene. And what if he, in a temptation by the devil, gave in, had sexual relations with Mary Magdalene, had a family, and yet still encounters Paul, the Apostle Paul, preaching the word of Christ, And then he comes back, he leaves that hallucination, goes back to the cross, dies, and saves humanity. But before he went through with saving humanity on the cross, he had that temptation of going through with banging Mary Magdalene. That's the movie. I had to watch it for a theology class when I was in college.
I expect the same kind of breakdown on The Lighthouse now. So,
It's funny how he's like talking about this, and I'm like drawing a damn black goat looks like Black Phillip right now, you know, trying to make like some demon art while while we're talking about this. So it's just like, oh, well, I guess we're going with the whole religious theme now. Yeah.
It's history of religion. I got you on that.
Oh yeah, that's why you had the band, you know. It's like all the shit that I'm never going to remember, and like anything that has to do with where people come from or the background. It's like, Chris, all right, I know that one. But I mean, I want to go to Chris first of all before we get, well, you know what? Let's just call it in the ring. Why don't you talk about the film and we'll just discuss it as we're going along and point out some things, and then of course, you know how we do it, we'll talk about, you know, just about the our experience. But go ahead, Gabe, give us a little how the film starts off. I know at first, the first 20 minutes, I was like, oh shit, with that fucking, was it called a foghorn?
Yeah,
that was so eerie and so haunting, the whole movie.
Yeah, so to kind of get to kind of pretty much what this whole movie is, I consider it, there's movies that are action movies. Like, you know, you got Fast and the Furious. You got these Marvel movies. You got all these type of other, you know, even horror movies. You know, they're movies. This one is, to me, is artsy. Mm-hmm. It is artsy left to right. Even just the way it is, like, filmed. You know, where you got, like, the widescreen view where the black bars are on the top. No, this one's one of those. It's on the sides. It squeezes it up. I forgot what the ratio is, like 1:19 ratio or something. This is a film. And this is an artsy film. And I kid you not, like the acting out of these characters and just how they carry themselves, they speak in that kind of sailor tone. They carry themselves that way. This is New England, 1890. So for them to go ahead and speaking the way they do and how they carry themselves, it's pretty much the only thing that's there for fun for these guys is drinking. That's their fun. Now, what this whole movie's about, it's about a young man who ends up taking up a job as a wiki. Now, a wiki is just another term for a lighthouse keeper. So he said,
I thought you were going to say something else. I had heard him saying these words, and I Chris, after I watched it, I'm like, what the fuck is that? And like, it has a link to what they are and all that. And I was like, completely, like, I was like, I'm not gonna call him that because I'm not gonna remember that word. So, but go on, proceed.
I kid you not, when I first watched this damn movie, I had trouble trying to figure out. I knew more or less what they were talking about, but to know the exact, you know, kind of references or definitions, like what these people are talking about, was kind of beyond me. So I also, too, had to go back and start looking this up. I saw this in the movie theater.
Can I just throw this out here real quick?
Yeah, Go for it.
And you'll remember this because you were the same grade as me. So
no, here we go.
I hope I remember it.
Remember in 10th grade we had to read fucking Macbeth?
And,
that's
kind of.
Forget 10th grade.
I kind of goofed off a lot in school.
I did, but I still remember some of it, but.
Chris did never goofed off. He's fucking lying again. That motherfucker was all raising his hand, you know. That motherfucker's still raising his hand, dude. What are you talking about?
Not in any other class. I was dumb as fuck, but did you ever read Macbeth at all? The actual book.
What is your fascination? Why don't you talk about Macbeth instead of asking him? Talk about fucking Macbeth.
Okay, well, no, because I wanted to see if he understood where I was going with this. Okay, so you didn't.
No one understands where you're going.
I remember we had to read it, but don't make me quote anything from that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that name. I don't even know. I don't remember what that is. But I mean, go ahead and say your piece. You know,
when you first open that book and you're reading it, that dialogue made no fucking sense. It was this 17th century Scottish dialect of English. I couldn't understand a fucking thing they were saying. If it wasn't for the teacher breaking down the chapters the next day after what we were supposed to read the night before. If it wasn't for Miss Hartley, or Miss Hartman, or Hartley, whatever her name was, if it wasn't for her breaking it down, I would never have understood that fucking book. And that's what a lot of this is here. See, this captain, this fucking Willem Dafoe, he's a fucking, like, old-school Scottish Navy captain-type dude, you know, and he's going to talk in that, like, working class Scotsman dialect and then use a bunch of Navy language and Navy jargon. And yeah, if you don't have the fucking captions on, you're not going to catch it.
Chris, I got one question for you since you're rambling.
Good.
You're fond of me lobster, aren't you?
I want steak!
I'd fuck it if I had a steak. I started laughing because you got like a completely different accent with the you know Dafoe, you know, and then you got you know what is it Robert Patrick or what is his name?
Robert Patterson.
He's not the 2000.
And he's like, if I had a steak right now, like it's kind of like a east you know side of the of United States kind of accent or some shit, dude. It's just kind of
like a Boston Rhode Island accent that
Yeah.
You don't hear it at first, but then when he starts getting mad, it comes out.
Yeah, it's like it's because I'm expecting them both to sound kind of Scottish, you know, and they don't, you know, and so it really stood out. But yeah, I just want to know if you were fond of me lobster. That was all that. No harm done. I had to put the fucking subtitles on. Like I was like after like the first 2 minutes, and like I'm pretty good with hearing accents. I had a lady that had a fucked up, you know, accent, and then of course. I'm a big fan of Iron Maiden. I'm talking about it, so I always hear their interviews, and they have really like they don't open their mouth when they talk. It's real, you know, British, you know, shit. And when I heard this, I was like, "What the fuck is he?" You know, first because it's like the accent, but also the words because you know, and all that bullshit that they say. So you know, I felt like I was watching the Witch, but with the fucked up, you know, Scottish accent or whatever the fuck he is.
Bill Wilkins in Conjuring 2 was easier to understand.
Oh yeah, way easier. Yeah, I had to put the subtitles on, then I was like, okay. But,
Yeah, like, man, I think that's, like, really interesting. I mean, not so much as just the characters, but for the actors themselves to remember those type of lines is, like, ridiculous. Like, I was just like, because if you notice that Robert Patterson doesn't even really speak too much. It's mostly all
Dafoe, right?
It's all the Green Goblin there. he's talking like that throughout the whole damn thing. If anything, he does the most talking throughout this whole damn movie. And it's ridiculous, like, how we can remember so many weird, obscure lines. But, I mean, man, he had to have rehearsed those damn lines, like, so many times.
He did a really badass job. I had heard before I even watched the film. I had heard about how Willem Dafoe, the Green Goblin, you know, Captain Wake or whatever they call him in the film, how good of a performance he had given. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's good. But then he does that one, you know, when he gets mad about the food thing, right? He starts giving that speech, and like that's one of the things like you're saying, like. Man, he, you know, to learn, like, it's kind of like almost starting, like, a new language and shit, you know, and then to, really deliver it the way he does. I was like, man, this is like, he's like, he is the horror aspect of this film with his craziness and his antics, dude. It's really fucking good.
Right. As just like I was saying earlier, like pretty much like for the whole audience to kind of get an idea of like what this movie really is, since we like described it pretty well. The idea behind it is, like I was saying, there's a young man, he applied, or however he got hired for the job, for being a lighthouse keeper. And now he's starting to seek a career down this path. Now, he needs training, so he ends up being on board with this older gentleman, which is, you know, William Dafoe. He's the Green Goblin. So he's training him up how to be a lighthouse keeper. Well, anyways, they're stuck on this rock, this little island for the lighthouse the whole damn time. It's just them two. There is no television. There is no radio. It's just them two. And the only form of entertainment they really have with each other is either to talk or to drink. Well, leave it to the young man. He doesn't want to talk. He's just there to do a job. You know, and that's it. And the Green Goblin's like, look, I've seen other men, you know, go crazy. You know, this is the entertainment. You should talk while you have the chance. I don't need to talk. No, you need to talk. Now, understand the way I'm explaining it, they're not talking like that. Ye should be talking ye now forth the next day, so.
If a man don't drink, he best have his reasons.
Yeah. See, and they talk like that, so I... Excuse me if I'm not going to quote them exactly, but
that one's tough because he didn't drink, and then like later on down the movie, he becomes the same kind of drinker.
He does now. He starts his first day. They start their first day now.
Keep it secrets, are ye?
there's an extra excellent little twist to this damn movie, which gives different perspectives on however way you watched it. But it's just these two guys. He's encouraging them to talk. He's all, come on, blah blah blah, and he's calling them lad throughout the whole damn this beginning, like first 20 minutes or so. He's telling them, look, lad, you need to do this and blah blah. Pretty much, he's just a slave driver. He's giving them all sorts of things to do, all kinds of chores. And he says, look, we're going to work in shifts. I got the night shift. You got the day shift. So all throughout the day, these are the chores you need to do. You need to clean out the gutters. You need to go ahead and put oil to the light. You know, keep that light shining. You need to go ahead and do this. You need to do that. So leave it to this guy. He's like, all right, I'll do all that, whatever. But he doesn't talk much, so he's just like, uh-huh, okay, aye, sir. So he's all like, look, you need to have a drink with me. And he's all, no, I don't want to drink. No, you come on, you have to have a drink. You can't turn down a drink. It's bad luck. No, tell you what, I'll do that. He dumps the drink, the liquor, into the sink, and he gets water and says, okay, there, now I'll have your drink. You know, I don't want to be, he's all, oh, you should have liquor, you know, it'll keep you, it keeps all the sailors happy, it keeps them loose and, yeah, and agreeable, yeah, and it also keeps them stupid.
Yeah.
Like, how stupid do you think I am? He's all,
hey, Mark,
you know the. So at this point, so he's already like, he's already doing all his chores. He's doing everything he has to do. And so leave it to the Green Goblin.
You're neglecting your duty, slot. Don't deny it.
Yeah, and he's like, he's pushing him.
He's fucking with people, kid.
Yeah, and he's all like, no, I've been doing all my stuff. I've been doing it. He's all like, I mopped
and swept twice. I was your lying dog. I love when he's coming after him.
Did you imagine Ray being like the commander of like a naval entity like this to some other guy?
God, he'd be like, man, I took down 7 whales on this here island, kid. You know, barehanded, I did. Just me and them lifeboat. We took on a couple of blue whales. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, at this point, tensions are rising. The Green Goblin's egging him on. He keeps pushing him, and you know, leave it to he gets tired of it, and he says, "Look, just quit calling me lad." Well, what am I supposed to call you? Winslow. Ephraim Winslow. All right, Ephraim Winslow. I'm telling you now, lad. Winslow. You need to do your chores and blah, blah, blah. And he's going off on a rant. So now you find out the young guy's name is Ephraim Winslow. The other guy, the captain, ends up, they all getting drunk, and he says, look, my name is Wake. What? Thomas Wake. That's your name, Thomas Wake. Yep. So he finally encouraged him, or Ephraim Winslow, or Robert Patterson, Twilight, they encouraged him to drink. So all of a sudden, they had one drink. Before you know it, they start really going to town, and they start getting drunk. Before you know it, they're going back and forth. They're shooting all kinds of stories.
What? That's what I mean. What? That's the trouble with them. They're going back and forth. What?
Yeah, so the further you get into the story, you realize the tensions are really getting higher. They're really arguing at each other. Even at one point, Robert Patterson's doing his chores, and he's pissed off, and he ends up seeing a seagull, and he gets pissed off at that seagull. And he goes ahead and ends up like, get away, and he throws a rock at it, and the bird flies off. Well, anyways, later on, Wake, or the captain, ends up, or Green Goblin, ends up telling him, hey, I saw you fighting with that gull not that long ago. Yeah. Don't be doing that. Don't you dare kill it. Well, why not? What does it matter? Don't you kill those seagulls. That's bad luck. What do you mean?
Seagulls have the souls of dead sailors.
Yes, exactly. So that was his reasoning. He says, the seagulls are the reincarnation of like souls that had met their maker. From sailors out at sea that met their maker, they ended up being incarnated as seagulls.
And I didn't realize it till I watched it twice. But I know they were like talking about his second guy, and I was like, or his whatever he calls him, his second that killed himself or he died or whatever. And the seagulls got one eye, and then like he sees like a head in like some kind of where they're catching the food. And it's got one eye.
Lobster trap.
Yeah, and then so everyone ends up having like one eye in this thing. Like if they are like the reincarnation things. And it was just crazy once you watch it again. Like because at first you're like, what the fuck am I watching? You know, and then you start, you know, you get into it as you know, they build it up more, and then you watch it again. Like once you're done watching it, you watch it again. You're like, oh okay, it makes kind of like what's that other movie called? The one with all the witchcraft shit, Hereditary. Yeah, Suspiria too, but Hereditary, like where at first you're like, what the fuck is all this? And then you kind of like get the big reveal. You're like, wow, I got to watch it again now. And that's the way it was the second time watching it. I was like, okay, you know, doing that Chris routine.
Well, my wife hates seagulls. I don't know why, but she hates seagulls. She thinks they're evil birds. And so the part where he grabs that one seagull by the wing and just like banging it against the fucking doldrums.
That was brutal, dude. I feel bad for that seagull. Fuck.
You're cheering for it.
Oh, no. Man. I
saw that. I started laughing at shit.
I was like, he fucked up. I was like, he fucked up.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like he got, like, after he was warned, not to be doing shit, and he does it anyways. He's all like, I don't give a shit. And he fucking got pissed off at that damn seagull. He grabbed that shit by the damn wing or the leg or whatever and just started smashing it against this rock, and then just kept, he went to town on that shit. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what the hell? I was like, this guy cannot be that angry. He took out all his frustration and anger from William Dafoe, yeah, or the Green Goblin, out on this damn seagull. So that was my interpretation of like why he did it. Not so much as like,
yeah,
he was testing luck as itself, but I think it was just more as he took his frustrations out. As the movie starts furthering out, tensions start rising, and like you said, there was a mention of that he had a previous.
His second mate, whatever they call it, whatever
he called second mate, yeah, yeah, or a attendee or an apprentice or something like that, or trainee. But he supposedly, you know, he's supposedly dead, you know, some kind of accident or who knows what. But they don't really talk much into it. So then he starts having his suspicions that he's I think you killed them. You killed your second mate. That's it. I know your secret. He's all, you be talking full of nonsense. You be drunk and all this stuff. Because at one point, Robert Pattinson just kind of gives up and just, he's frustrated with the whole ordeal. So he starts getting drunk all on his own. And at one point, he argues with William Dafoe so intensely, while Dafoe is like, he wasn't even drinking at all, but Robert Pattinson was. And he argues with him so intensely that Dafoe gets so pissed, he describes in great detail how he will die, how he will meet his gruesome death. And basically, it's like cursing him. So, and he's all, look, I just want to let you know, I hate your cooking. Your cooking sucks.
Yeah.
He's all, but not my lobster, right? No,
you're fond of me, lobster. Say it. Say it.
And he's like, no. He's all, say it. Say my lobster is good. Ye say it. Nope, it sucks. Nope, it sucks. All right, by the depths of Neptune, grab his trident, and by the curls of the coils, wrap around ye neck. I will stab at thee as your intestines bleed out, and seagulls gut at your palate, and pulleth thee away. I'm like, oh, shit. And he's all right. I like your cooking.
Have it your way.
Have it your way.
That was really awesome, that whole scene when he goes, yeah, you're like, Neptune, strike you down, Winslow. And then, like, the thunder, because I've heard the word before, but, like, seeing the subtitles where I've heard hark, and I, hark! And then, you know, it thunders, and he talks about the Triton, like you said, and all that. And the cockle shells, and I'm like, man, this motherfucker's cutting a promo on fucking, you know, Winslow and shit. I was like, never. That's why he's like, oh, I have a year away, you know. Yeah. Badass scene, dude.
Yeah, that was. That was like a really great scene, because like I said, I got to give William Dafoe that, because for him to remember all those damn lines in a specific order, it was crazy. And I was like, wow. I kind of felt, since this was one of those artsy movies, I kind of felt like I needed to stand up and applaud him just for that moment. Because that was ridiculous.
But that's method acting. That's a guy like, if you're going to play a role like that and say lines like that, most people aren't going to be that good. They're going to remember that shit off the top. So, I mean, you have to immerse yourself in that mindset and, like, read about people like that in that era.
Right. And I think that's what he did exactly. I think he went and did his history and just to get into that kind of acting. That was ridiculously good. But aside from that, so I mentioned this part because this also has to do with the ending. So as the story continues,
what the hell is funny?
The farts and shit.
Oh yeah. So. As the story progresses, it really starts getting intense. He's having visions of this mermaid throughout the movie, and that's to kind of kill time or kind of give him some kind of relaxation. he would go into the working shed that they have for this lighthouse, and well, he'll just go to town on himself just to have, just to give that release. So he'll go to town, but he wasn't just kind of looking into nowhere or looking at the wall. He found like a little mermaid, kind of like a little carving, like a little idol.
Yeah.
Like a little figurine. Yeah. And so he was going to town on that, trying to imagine, like, you know, a half-naked mermaid, you know. You know, a beautiful girl, but, I mean, man, she's all, you know, half-mermaid. So, I mean, how beautiful can she really be?
You know she smells like fish down there for sure, so.
Oh, definitely. So, I didn't doubt that for a minute. So, at this point, so... So the visions of this mermaid start getting a little more intense, and it's starting to look like he's having hallucinations throughout this damn movie. So now you're just like, oh, what the heck is going on? You know, is this movie? Is this like, is this the hallucinations, or is this actually like, you know, is he really seeing stuff? It goes back and forth, and it leaves it kind of vague to where, like, as an example, he sees the mermaid, he freaks out, he starts running, but the moment he starts running, he goes through the door, he's talking to the captain, and everything's, like, normal, so you don't know if he's hallucinating or this is, like, actually real. It leaves everything kind of vague, so you don't, it's kind of up in the air, you don't know what you're really seeing. Again, this is an artsy film. Along with that, there's tentacles from from damn octopus. He's seen visions of people like looking all kind of weird, and they have scales and weird shit. So even William Dafoe at one point ended up having like these little coils or seashells and shit like that all over him while he's getting the crap beat out of him. Yes, the argument between them increased so much where they ended up getting into a damn fight. Now, at this point, they both get drunk, and Robert Pattinson ends up saying, hey, there's something I really need to tell you. He's all, what, Winslow? He's all, I need to tell you, I don't want to hear your secrets, don't spill your beans. Well, don't spill my, no, I need to tell you because I trust you. No, don't spill your beans. Well, he does it anyways. He's all, look, my name's not really Ephraim Winslow. No. It's Thomas Howard. Thomas Howard? Oh, okay. So, and I came here because there was an accident with pretty much from a coworker from back wherever he was from. I missed that part. I don't know if he... I think he was from Canada or something like that. But he's from somewhere... he's from somewhere where they were doing a lot of logging, and his friend ended up getting killed amongst the logs, and he says he couldn't say or do anything other than get a smoke. He said that was the only thing that ran through his mind was getting a smoke. So, like, he just needed a cigarette, and he's all, I had no expression.
The old school logging industry, they had these water canals where the logs would travel. After they've been cut into solid logs and debranched and everything. And right. So what would happen is, it's called, you know, the old school expression, log jam. Well, that's because what happened is, like, the logs would jam up and they wouldn't move and they'd stop. So what you have to do is what they would do back then is throw dynamite at a series of logs until, like, some of them would break up enough that they'd start moving again. And this guy died in a dynamite accident, and he did nothing to stop it or help the guy. He just let him die because he didn't like him.
Yeah, there you go. And at that point, he took on the name Ephraim Winslow. Now, it suggested that he took on the name or that identity because of that, or whatever it is. He took on that name, and he just, I guess he's running away now. He just, you know, that was it. He just wanted to be, just kind of be left in solitude, or he's trying to seek some type of, you know, kind of redemption or something of that sort. And that's why he ended up going towards the lighthouse. Now, at this point, so he spilled the beans to William Dafoe. So now, later on, they sober up. They're all getting into arguments. They're all pissed off. They're trapped there. Robert Pattinson at this point thinks that he's going to get saved. Well, right before that moment, he ended up they were under the suspicion thinking that they were going to get saved, that, you know, a ship was going to come and pick them up. But in that case, it didn't happen because there was a violent storm that was happening. And
that's when he got drunk. Yeah,
and that's why they ended up getting drunk. They ended up going through their reserve of liquor. So at this point, they're just they're drinking. They got drunk. This whole thing happened. The storm is still going on. It's still violent weather outside. No ship's going to come because it's just too damn dangerous. So they have no choice but to be there. Well, the whole house is flooded. The whole cottage, this whole little lighthouse thing ends up happening. And it's flooded. He sees the record book that William Dafoe's been keeping on him. Basically, that's his log book to say, like, what kind of character this guy is, like what kind of worker this guy is. Well, he ends up putting down in there saying, hey, this guy sucks. He doesn't do his work.
He's always drunk.
He's lazy. He's always drunk, even though he was the one encouraging it.
Yeah.
He's always drunk. It's bad times. I say withhold his paychecks. You know, don't pay him. That's my suggestion. So leave it to Robert Pattinson. He sees this and he's like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. So now he's pissed off at William Dafoe. He's pissed and he's just like, oh, I'm gonna kick your ass, and you know, this is terrible. How could you say this? I saw your logbook. You killed your friend. Oh, whatever, you're just talking nonsense, blah blah blah. Anyways, they go at it. They start beating the shit out of each other, but leave it to Robert Pattinson. I think because of his age, he's a lot younger. He just got the jump on him and just ended up beating the crap out of him. So he beats the crap out of him and says, look, you know, I'm going to go ahead and treat you like the dog you are. You know, now bark.
Yeah, well, he walks him outside.
He's making his ass bark.
Yeah.
So he makes him bark. He puts him on a, like, he puts some rope or whatever around his neck and drags his ass outside. Outside is a hole that was dug because this is where they were keeping the reserve of liquor, was buried in the damn ground. So they dig, that hole is still there, throws William Dafoe's ass in there, and William Dafoe's all, he ends up giving some kind of small speech like, oh, do you know why you're really here, or this and this, and you know, Robert Pattinson's already pissed. He don't really give a shit. So he's just like, whatever. He just starts trying to bury him alive. And he says, give me the damn keys or I'm really going to kill you. Give me the keys, because he's been wanting, throughout this whole damn movie, wanting to go see the light at the lighthouse. He's been wanting to see that. Why?
Who knows?
Who knows? There's some. It's vague. It doesn't, again, there's that vagueness that you don't understand. You just know that he wants to get there. So anyways, he ends up taking the keys. He don't give a shit. Leaves William Dafoe laying in the damn hole with dirt all over him. And he starts trying to make his way over there. Well, he ends up going inside. He ends up goes inside their little cottage stuff. And then guess who shows up? William Dafoe. And he's making one last attempt to try to kick his ass because he wants the light for himself. So he pulls out an axe, gets Robert Pattinson in the arm, doesn't chop it off. Robert Pattinson knocks his ass out with a pot, like a kettle, and ends up pulling out the axe, whacks him right in the damn head. So that's the end of Green Goblin. You know, they just whack
yeah.
Him
I couldn't believe that it fucking happened that way. I was like, holy shit! Like, it just, you know.
Yeah, he just did not give a shit at that point, because he already had everything else going against him. He thought he was going to get off the rock. He was stuck there. Before this whole incident happened, he was telling them that he was hallucinating. He's all, I'm hallucinating. Yeah, yeah. And he's all, oh, yeah? Then, he's all, I think all of this is the truth. He's all, no, no. He's all, how long do you think you've been here? A day? A month? A year? You don't even know, do you? You don't even know how long we've been here. Well, so And leave it to all the vagueness. You can only assume there's different interpretations. You can see this. This guy is either in hell. He's probably hallucinating from all the damn liquor. Even at one point when they did run out of the liquor, they got what was it? The alcohol, and they mixed it with like the gasoline.
Like honey or something, right?
Kerosene.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got kerosene and mixed it with honey, and they started drinking that. That's horrible.
Which I mean, again, that's a way to make alcohol, because you're taking something that has inherently sugary. You let those sugars ferment in some kind of other substance, and then boom, the alcohol that you can consume liquid is going to be there.
So at this point, he ends up killing William Dafoe. There's an axe right in his head, and he has the keys now. So he's like, okay, I already murdered this guy. You know, I finally got the keys. You know, who cares? I've already, you know, all is all done is done. That's it. I'm going to go see this light that, you know, that I've been wanting to see throughout this whole damn movie. So there he goes. He's all bloody, he's all wet and everything because of the damn storm, the damn weather, everything's, you know, he's beaten up, he's tired. So he makes his way up to, walking up this big long staircase up the lighthouse, unlocks the door, and makes his way to go and see, he sees this big old glass, I don't know the name of it, but it's like for the lighthouse, it's like the big old glass eye. Anyways, it has like a little door, and he ends up opening it. He sees the light, and the light is so intense that you can't tell. You don't know what the light is. You have no idea what the light is. You just see it from the light's point of view, looking at.
Doesn't it open too on its own, like the fucking the little thingy? You know, like it opens up, and it's just like welcoming him. To go in, and almost.
He's like screaming for. He sees the light and he starts screaming, but the scream is not like a. This is another favorite part of mine, is that when he's screaming, it's not his voice. It's like. It's kind of like they turned off his voice and they turned on the bass. So every time he screams, it's like the bass for your surround sound or whatever you're listening to is just vibrating. So you're hearing every time he screams it, you're hearing vibrations of his voice. It's like so obscure and scratchy. It's like it's so weird. And then once the light kind of dissipates and that whole scene goes, it goes back towards the outside of the of that building out there on the edge of the waters, and you see Robert Pattinson bloodied, naked. On the floor with his intestines out, exactly how William Dafoe described it when he was pissed off, cursing him about Neptune ripping out his guts, stabbing him with a trident. Pretty much he's out there with his guts, and seagulls are just, they're eating his guts. And that's pretty much how the movie ends. Now, you can see it that he was in hell the whole time. He was under hallucinations. There's so many different perspectives you can watch this movie as.
Right.
But honestly, at this point, I mean, I like to say that this was hallucinations and he just kind of went crazy the whole time. You know, solitude can make you go get that cabin fever. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there listening that probably, you know, with the whole COVID thing, probably understand a little bit of that. But see, we have TV, we got on demand, we got music, we got all kinds of stuff to keep us entertained. These guys, It was just them, just liquor. That's it, you know. I mean, shit. Yeah, these guys are going crazy. So
they didn't even have radio back then. They didn't even like the fireside chats FDR would do in the late 30s, early 40s, and yeah. Like the fucking Orson Welles radio listens and all that stuff. Like they didn't even have that.
Yeah, and a good point on that, since you're mentioning that too, their form of entertainment, like what they were doing, like, you know, of course, when every time we drink, we all want to hear some good music, you know, something to, you know, make our brains kind of tickle there. As far as these guys, they made their own music. So when they're super drunk, they know the song, so they start singing, they're pounding on the table, they're making their own music. They have no instruments, they're just doing it themselves. So they're jumping around back and forth, and they're singing. Even at one point, and I thought this was so weird, they decided to hold each other and slow dance while one of them sang. They were singing a slow song, so I was like, really?
They're doing that swing your partner do-si-do with like the arm elbow crook connecting thing.
Yeah, they did that, and it was hilarious. I had a good time just watching them do it. Not that I would do that, but still.
They even start fucking, like, play fighting, like fist fighting, but not, like, angrily, just, like, and he goes, and he actually, like, hits him, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's their form of roughhousing, just show masculinity, like, to show how tough they were. And that's how I took that. Again, it wasn't aggressive, like, out of anger.
Right, it wasn't him wanting to legit fuck him up. It was just, like, two guys bored having fun.
Yeah, just two guys bored, like, hey, man, you want to fight? Yeah, let's do it. And I don't know, y'all have brothers and stuff like that growing up. I mean, y'all roughhoused, you know, and stuff like that. So it would be similar, you know, just two guys just roughing it out, just beating the shit out of each other for no damn reason. So it could be the drunk talk, just them out of boredom. Whatever it is, but yeah, that's pretty much that whole movie. I mean, there's a lot of cool little snippet parts here and there that are pretty interesting, but leave it to the viewer if you're interested in something entertaining, like something artsy. I think this is like a chill movie. You want, you know, it's a good rainy day, why not throw this kind of movie on? Mm-hmm. It's interesting, it's weird. Again, William Dafoe, I mean, if you're familiar with his past movies, what was it, The Testament, or the that Testament movie you were mentioning? Exactly, that, or like I was calling them, the Green Goblin, like, you know, Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. I mean, shit, I think that guy's a good ass actor, you know. For ladies, you'll definitely love the Robert Patterson. He has his little naked moments in there, so go ahead, ladies, you know, feel free to pause those moments if you want.
I know Chris was pausing them.
Shit. Dude, and like here's the thing, like, I watched them, like, before they, like, I forgot, and I'm watching this here, like, I got the TV on. That fist fight scene I was talking about, where they're, like, kind of play fighting with each other, whatever, and you go, hi, and then they start, like, throwing punches, like, before that, they're fucking slow dancing, like, head to head against each other and shit. And, like, you know, you're gonna laugh, but I was hearing in my head that Back to the Future, like, Earth Angel.
Will you be mine? Let me and Chris start slow dancing and shit.
Yeah, dude, that's a good movie too. I like Back to the Future.
Don't get Chris started on Back to the Future. So, Chris, I want to know your rating on this bad boy, dude. I want to know, you know, your thoughts, your experience, all that good shit.
Out of 10, I'm gonna give it 8 out of 10.
Very nice, sir. Very nice.
And you know why?
Don't know. Don't really, like, think about it.
Like, it makes sense. Like, it's, if you've ever read enough about people who have been in fucking out to sea for months on end, or if, you know, people who have been in prison, or people, you know, who have been in solitude or whatever like this, like, the experience of these two guys, it makes perfect sense why they would react toward each other and behave toward each other the way they do. Like, you just simply have to read Billy Budd. You simply have to read, like, stories about people who have been out to sea for months on end, didn't know when they were going to dock on land. You simply have to watch, you know, realistic type movies and shows about people who have been in prison, and how you know, when it's a bunch of men around each other in the absence of female companionship, you start having that kind of odd sexual closeness with each other. Like, it makes sense. And, like, this whole thing, and, like, how you also can slowly go crazy in that solitude or in that environment of, like, a master subservient worker relationship like this is, like, yeah, you're going to be fucked up in the head with all that for months on end. Yeah, it's going to fuck you up in the head. And then, yeah, there's going to be anger, there's going to be violence, there's going to be yelling, there's going to be profanity, there's going to be, like, outbursts of fucking, like, fucking up a seagull like that, everything. It's going to happen because the human being is not meant to live like that. You're meant to live in an ordinary society where you have some time to yourself, but then you do your daily work and then you interact with other people and stuff. That's the way we're meant to be. This is not how we're meant to be. And then you combine that with, this is loosely based on Edgar Allan Poe works. And so when you know anything about him, the fucking depression case he was, you know, all that other shit, it makes all the sense of the world. The movie makes sense. I get it. I get everything about this movie. Is it the most fun, enjoyable movie? Is it in closed parameters? Yes, it is. But I get it, and it's as entertaining as a movie like this could possibly be.
Agreed, yeah. It's very self-contained, like you're saying, like, where it's the most out of the situation, given the situation. And at first, I was kind of, like I said, they don't say anything at first, and they don't really, then they start talking, or they don't understand, and then it gets this crazy build-up and then crazy ending. And for me, I give it an 8 out of 10, too, you know, shots. At first, I was kind of like, whoa, what the fuck is this? And then, you know, once you get into the mix of it, you're like, okay, now I understand what everyone's, like, you know, talking about. You got to check it out. Like, it's not, like, overly not a lot of shit going on. But when business starts picking up, it does get, you know, really entertaining, and that haunting, you know, foghorn, and, you know, just constantly, and, you know, the visions and all, just the crazy imagery. It's fucking entertaining. It's like one of those movies that it's not as good as what was that one that we did the other artsy movie you talked about, Chris, earlier.
Suspiria.
It's not Suspiria, you know, good, but it's really good, and it's black and white, different way, with not as many people. It's fucking two people, right? So, no, it was really, it's one of those movies that, like, it's kind of weird to say, but if it's like I want that relaxing but, like, interesting mood, I'm going to put on this, you know what I mean, where you're just kind of, like, to yourself with the madness of, you know, being trapped on a fucking island, you know, with just, you know, what you can really imagine this, you know, happening to you or anybody else, being, like, stuck on just, you know, fucking raining all the time and dealing with a crazy maniac, you know. So, yeah, 8 out of 10 for me. Really cool ass movie, dude. G Money? That yes, kid? Sir. That kid?
Well, I love this movie. It's not my everyday watch, though. This is, like you said, this is like one of those kind of, like, you know, it's a chill movie. You know, every time this is very artsy. I do like that. There's a lot of great little things that I can appreciate this. Definitely, though, for, like, anyone viewing it for the first time, it's going to be weird and obscure for them just because of how they talk and how they kind of carry themselves. So it will be confusing at first, but depending on how invested they're going to be into it, they'll probably look up the references and stuff like that, and it'll make it look even more interesting. Or unless you're already familiar with that type of sailor talk or you like that theme, I mean, that would be cool too. For my taste, though, I mean, I don't watch too many. This is kind of a little bit obscure for me, for, like, my kind of typical taste of, like, certain movies that I really like to watch. I will watch this again. This is, don't get me wrong, but this is not, I probably won't watch it again probably for, like, several months, because I always have something that's always keeping me entertained, or I like a certain theme of certain movies. And so I'll have to give this, like, a good 7. It's not a bad movie, but it's definitely not, like, one of my, like, oh, it's not my top 10. Mm-hmm. it is good, though. But I probably will not watch this for a while unless, you know, again, someone says, hey, you want to watch this movie? Sure. I guess so. You know, I'm feeling mellowed today. Feeling mellowed. Throw that on.
Yeah, it's a mellow. It's not. Yeah, it's not something I'm gonna, like you said, put on. Like, oh, you know, if I want to like enjoy myself, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, better movies. But like, just the artsy, the relaxation towards it. But there's so much shit to watch. It's hard to say that you're gonna go back to certain films unless they're like really, really fucking entertaining. And we're the kind of guys that are. We're always trying to watch different shit, you know, especially because we do the podcast. We're like, it's really enjoyable when you put on something and you don't know how it's going to end. So you're like, kind of like, okay, you know, do that Chris routine. Okay, you know, and it just keeps on getting crazier and all that shit. So good ass film. Fun film.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Dread Pirate Sea being no man's debts. I make a barter with you, true as the North Star, in exchange for your kindness. I'll be splitting me buried treasure with you. You know, I appreciate it, man. You know, it's not really that necessary. You know, there's a few bucks here, a few bucks there, I think we'll be okay. Grr. Okay, Peter, I'll be on the Stairmaster. Okay, you know, just say
it. I'll be on the Stairmaster. Fucking dodgeball and shit. Fucking funny shit. Anyway, I hope you guys that check this one out. You know, it's a good, fun film. I don't know what we're going to do next. We call it up, you know, in the ring on the weekend. We're like, what do y'all feel like doing? So... might do Tales from the Crypt. We were going to do that last week, but kind of had a change of plans. But, you know, Christopher J., I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and we'll see you on the next one.
You got to be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Man, I don't have one. Oh, goodbye.
We're both going to